now time for the crime report, sponsored by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS. And that's where all calls will be kept confidential and a monetary reward issued for information leading to an arrest. Mr. Jackalone Joseph, a retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College and author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators. And that is the third edition. Better late than never, I always say, Joe, and welcome aboard. By the way, I want to apologize. We had a little bit of a glitch, not our fault, in the area in which we broadcast, but we are going strong at this point in time. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing great. Lots to cover in a short period of time, my friend, so let's get into it. This the whole thing with Mr. Singh, certainly singing, apparently, going back a couple of months. But in essence, you know, listen, it's all about making a plea and making some confessions. And in essence, you know, I tell you, some serious ones at that. What was your take?
Yeah, I mean, this is getting worse and worse because the bribery case now involves a New York City official, too, which they didn't name in the indictment. So it was an unnamed person in there. He's going to take a lot of time for this. I mean, he's got about three, four people that he's going to be, you know, with Mangano, Vendetto, this New York City official, and Mangano's wife. He's took guilty pleas in all of them, basically, or he admitted to it all. He's going to have some serious jail time involved in this, and he's going to tell us everything he knows because he's got to save his own skin, so to speak, here. So it's going to be interesting, Jay.
No question about it, Joe. I had Ray Perini on yesterday. You know, listen, to me, according to Ray, and I kind of concurred, the most damning part of this whole thing is Singh's admittance to the no-show job by Ed Mangano's wife, Linda, you know, and collecting $450,000 in doing so. And that is a very large number that certainly, you know, that's gonna tell them in the courtroom.
Yeah, no, he pled guilty to the eight counts. I mean, and it reads like a RICO Act, right? A Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organization Act. I mean, the bribery, the conspiracy charges, security fraud, wire fraud, obstruction of justice. I mean, the list just goes on and on. I mean, I think the Manganos have a real problem on their hands, too, because of the fact that, you know, his wife was involved in this, and she's not even a public official. So this is where the rubber meets the road in these cases, and I believe that the federal prosecutors, I mean, they got Singh in a good spot to give them all the information that they need. It's just going to be interesting to see who this New York City official turns out to be.
No question about it. And, of course, Joe, making reference, you know, listen, Bill de Blasio has had his problems with a lot of rumors with illegal campaign contributions. And, you know, at this point, de Blasio could be sweating some bullets here, but even more so, I think Ed Mangano is, you know, forget the fact, the watches, the wood flooring, the massage chairs, the vacations, yeah, and everything else. I mean, right now, there is some serious evidence here regarding both the Manganos at this point in time.
Well, and taking the food from his restaurant, I think, is the lowest part on the list there. So, yes, he has a lot of issues. There's a lot of sleepless nights going over there in the Mangano house, for sure.
No question about it, and add John Vendetto into this mix, who also has some problems there. So the trial awaits March the 12th. You don't see any type of obstacle to delay that point in time, Joe, would you?
No, it's already been delayed. This is going to go forward. I don't think the judge is going to listen to anything that the defense attorneys have to say about more time. They already got it when they added an extra 20-something, you know, charges to the thing on the Vendetto, and that's what caused the delay in the first place. So they have their time to get their case together, and that's going to go forward. It's just going to be interesting to see how this, you know, works out, because we, in the past, with these politicians who have been on trial, right, we saw a couple of really big cases, you know, go by the wayside. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down.
No question about it. Speeding up the crime report, Joe Jackalone, Glen Cove raid. It happened just a couple of days ago, came out. What do we know here, Joe?
Well, yeah, they have they recovered a large amount of drugs and some firearms at the location. Probably, it seems to me, I mean, they didn't say it, but it seems to be that an informant gave them information on a warrant that they executed on this house. There are a lot of things that are happening with the drug, a lot of the changes in the drug landscape, too. We saw a big bust with the crystal meth, too. So it's really disturbing about what the trends are on drug use on Long Island.
No question about it. Cocaine recovered in Glen Cove. You mentioned the meth bust. Over $1 million in sale value there. A couple from Arizona picked up in what, New Hyde Park in that region, Joe?
Right. New Hyde Park, yeah, it was supposed to be for the streets of Nassau County. They didn't specifically say where, but the interesting fact is that this is the second largest meth bust in the last few days here in the New York City area and Long Island area. So crystal meth has generally been a drug that's been a West Coast thing. It really hasn't, you know, really hasn't taken place here. When we had two major busts now, it's just interesting to see if that drug is now making its rearing its ugly head here on Long Island. That would be a real tragedy, especially on top of the opioid crisis.
No question. Accelerated version of the crime report. Joe Jackalone with us. Pat Ryder, the commissioner now of the police department in Nassau County. Really, you know, the right choice if you're Laura Curran to kind of move along. He was the interim guy, took over from Tom Crumpter, but he'll be the guy to lead the force here, Joe.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that Mangano made a big mistake with Crumpter not naming him. I mean, he was an interim for a long time, so I think Curran is going to just give him the title, which is the right thing to do. The guy's in the position. He's doing a decent job, and just give him a chance. You know, you can't wait, you know, with this interim stuff too long. Just pick somebody already.
And, you know, speaking of Nassau County, I know we had on the county executive a couple of days ago, and she was very firm in her stance regarding paying up, talking about the $45 million to the two individuals, Joe Receiver, Dennis Hallstatt, talking about the 1984 rape and murder of the Lynbrook teen. They were exonerated, spending 18 years behind bars, Joe, but it looks like they're going to get a payday here.
Well, yeah, like I said, you know what? For 18 years in prison, not enough. There's not enough money that would be able to give me to feel better about it. I mean, it's a travesty of justice when somebody goes to prison for a crime they didn't do, and it's incumbent upon the police to make sure that they have the right guy, and then the district attorney's office to make sure that right guy has been vetted. So there's a lot of blame to be passed around here, but you know what? Well, as law enforcement, you have to be able to make sure they say this is the guy without a doubt. And, you know, try to prevent something like this. I couldn't imagine the horror that these guys had to go through.
And this is how, you know, we talk about it all the time, the new technology and DNA and everything else coming into play here, and hopefully it'll improve the system.
Well, yeah, we can hope, you know what? And the other issue is that we also hope that policing improves also. All this new technology, you got to make sure that they're using it correctly and that there's a policy and procedure on how to use these things, like the body cams and a lot of and the social media and the tablets and all these things that are hitting the streets. They're all great, but you know what? There has to be policies and procedures behind them so that we don't lose cases in the court going forward.
Do you think there are ramifications from an assemblyman proposing 0.08 down to 0.05? I'm talking a blood alcohol level. You wonder why this was not put into play a while ago. What do you think here, Joe?
Well, sure. I mean, for somebody who doesn't drink and drive, I mean, you can make it 0.1 as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the issue that you're 0.01, I mean, the issue that you're dealing with here is that still at this day and age, and then people are drinking and driving. I mean, there was an off-duty Nassau County cop that was arrested the other day for drinking while driving. So he fell asleep on the side of the pole on the highway. I mean, this is something where I still can't believe that people do this and the dangers that involve. Listen, get an Uber cab or do something other than get in your car, because you're going to either kill somebody else or yourself.
No question. Do we have any word yet? I know the reward was up $5,000 for the vandals in the Northport, Elwood area there. Talking about the broken windows, the cars, homes. Do we have any information? There is some surveillance out there, but anything you could tell us?
No, nothing yet, but I believe that there's more surveillance video than that they released. You know, they usually never put all that out there. Like I said, I think we spoke about this, whatever. I'd be combing the local high schools for information, because this seems like a juvenile type of crime. And, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, just kind of investigative 101. Hey, listen, if you're wrong, you can always move on to something else. But I think that's where I would be, you know, directing my investigators right now, talking to the school officials, seeing what they heard on the you know, in the cafeteria, searching social media, looking for these photos, looking for anybody who made any of those comments. That's what I'd be doing.
And, you know, speaking of the schools, you know, another gut-wrenching incident with a shooting. Two kids dead, 15-year-olds, a 15-year-old shooter, Joe. You know, just a gut-wrenching incident. The girl actually called her mother, was not able to speak amongst all the chaos. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to a point now you can't go to school, you can't go to work, you can't go to the movie theater. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, I don't know what do we do. I, you know, parents and everybody who have these firearms, they got to make sure these things are locked up and that nobody can get them. And you know what? If you have your child using these types of guns and stuff, you know, supervision and explain the dangers of these things. But I don't know what's going to stop it or what's going to prevent it from happening other than, you know, people do some common sense approaches first. That's always the first way to do things in order to reduce the incidents. You know, lock these things up. Keep them away from your kids. They're not toys. It's as simple as that.
No question. And you know, if you're a parent and your child is having some psychological problems, you hope that they know and can tip off, you know, school officials in this particular situation. Nothing was sensed, so, you know, the beat goes on. But, boy, I tell you, these incidents are just too tough to take.
Yes, like I said, and mental health is a huge problem in this country. And the other issue is that, you know, I'm sure school officials know that something might not have been too right with this kid. Maybe he was getting bullied or what have you. But you know what, though, Jay, the schools historically have kept things quiet. You know, and it, like I said, we see it right here on Long Island with the lack of cooperation sometimes that we see with the local law enforcement with the MS-13 gang members. You know, it's something that needs to be discussed on a broader scope nationally about how law enforcement and school officials can play a role in trying to keep these kids safe.
And, you know, Joe, finally, it's the Jerry Sandusky stuff all over again, Penn State years ago, what we have seen with this Larry Nassar and Michigan State University and the president stepping away, and now the board is asked to resign as far as the Olympic gym individuals there. Very, very tough to take. You know, another situation where you just can't fathom nobody else knowing about this. The guy was employed at Michigan State and no one knew anything? Are you kidding me? I mean, it's like Paterno slash Jerry Sandusky all over again here.
Yeah, and this might even be worse. I mean, I think there was 150 women that came forward and testified against them in court, you know, under sealed indictments and everything else. You know, you say to yourself, a scope of a sexual assault this long and this deep into the system, you can't tell me that nobody else knew anything about this or even whispers or a rumor of it. You know what? When you're dealing with children, when you're a school official, there are mandated reporting issues to the state when you believe something has happened to a child. You know what? There are more people that are going to come out under this. Like we saw a couple other things with the Penn State. You know, you had a couple other casualties, so to speak, where people either knew and didn't do anything about it. And I think you're going to see the same thing here.
No question. Joe, we'll talk to you in your regular slot next week.
Have a great weekend, Jake.